Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Algoma Central Corporation's second quarter results conference call. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for a question. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded on Thursday, August 7th, 2014. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Peter Winkley, VP Finance and CFO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Algoma Central Corporation Fiscal 2014 Second Quarter Investor Conference Call. Thank you for your patience this morning. As the moderator said, my name is Peter Winkley. I'm Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer of Algoma. Joining me this morning on the call is Greg White, President and CEO of Algoma. This morning, I will take you through the financial highlights for the quarter, following which I will turn the call over to Greg for his perspective on the events in the quarter and the outlook for the business. We will then open it up for questions. Hopefully by now you have seen our news release. We expect to make our SEDAR filings later on today, and in the meantime, thank you for joining us to get an overview of the quarterly financials. Before I begin, though, I should remind you that our comments today may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risk and uncertainties that may cause actual events to vary materially. Some of these risks are disclosed in the management discussion and analysis portion of the company's annual report and in the 2013 annual information form filed with the security regulators. Also, unless otherwise noted, all amounts are in Canadian dollars. I'm going to take you through our financials for the quarter and the year to date and touch upon some operational highlights. As you are no doubt aware, the winter of 2014 seemed endless, and this was particularly true for the domestic shipping industry. Record levels of ice cover resulted in portions of the upper Great Lakes remaining ice covered until into May this year. This caused substantial disruption and delays for our domestic customers, as vessels were unable to reach some ports and could only transit parts of the system with icebreaker support throughout this period. These delays and costs associated with the weather impacted our results, particularly for April. Although things improved in May and June, backlogs that resulted from the delays have persisted. Consolidated revenues for the quarter was $138 million compared to $145 million last year, and for the year to date, $190 million compared to $196 million. The weather impact on our domestic dry bulk and tanker business is the primary factor impacting revenue. Segment earnings after tax for the quarter were $17 million compared to $21 million for the quarter in 2013, and a loss of $4 million compared to $5 million for the year-to-date amounts. This is mainly attributable again to conditions in the domestic markets, as the tough operating conditions impacted both revenue and costs. Due to the seasonality of our domestic dry bulk business, we typically incur losses in the first 3 months and become profitable year-to-date on a consolidated basis in July. Also as a reminder, segment earnings net of tax reflects operating earnings attributable to our business segments on an after-tax basis and is before considering any foreign exchange gains or losses, as well as net interest expense, as none of these are allocated to our business segments. Our general and administrative expenses are down substantially from last year in the quarter and for the year to date, mostly due to reduced professional fees compared to amounts incurred in 2013 on a number of items ongoing at that time. G&A costs are fully allocated, and so they're reflected in the business segment results shown. Net earnings for the quarter were $15 million compared to $19 million for 2013, and earnings per share were 38 cents for 2014 compared to 50 cents last year. I will now turn to results from our business units. Domestic dry bulk revenues for fiscal 2014 second quarter were $96 million compared to $100 million for 2013. For the year to date, revenues were $110 million compared to $115 million last year. The decrease in revenue is entirely due to the weather impact and primarily to that impact in April. Generally speaking, customer demand was strong, and since the ice coverage has dissipated, we've experienced very high utilization. Grain traffic in particular suffered due to the inability of the railways to get grain to Thunder Bay and due to ice coverage on Lake Superior. The record 2013 harvest is expected to result in strong demands for cargo through the balance of 2014. The domestic dry bulk segment after-tax operating earnings were $10 million for the quarter compared to $13 million reported for 2013, and for the year-to-date were a loss of $16 million, which is lower than the $19 million reported last year. The drop in earnings in the current quarter is largely attributable to the lower revenues, although we also incurred extra maintenance costs in the quarter as we activated certain vessels that had not otherwise been expected to operate. The extra operating days these ships will provide are required to meet the strong customer demand and to clear backlogs caused by the winter delays. Despite the extra maintenance spending in the second quarter, our overall maintenance expense is down compared to 2013, and this more than offset the overall revenue impact for the year to date. As a result, the segment is reporting a reduced loss for the 6 months in 2014. Demand in our product tanker segment remains strong. Although the segment also had to contend with poor weather conditions, the impact is less significant than it is for dry bulk, as tanker trades are more regional in nature. Revenues from product tankers for the quarter were $24 million compared to $28 million in 2013, and for the year to date were $45 million compared to $47 million last year. Strong demand in both years resulted in chartering in of capacity, which drives revenue, but on which we earn a small margin. Segment earnings after tax were $2.6 million for 2014 quarter and $4.3 million for the year to date, compared to $3.5 million and $4.9 million reported in the same periods last year. While partially offset by a reduction in dry dock costs compared to the prior year, the net earnings were lower due to the drop in revenues. For ocean shipping, our share of pool revenues for the quarter was $17 million, and for the year-to-date was $33 million, compared to $16 million and $32 million for the same periods in 2013. Continued strong performance by the pool, combined with a weaker Canadian dollar, which boosts the reported value of these U.S. dollar-denominated activities, accounts for the increase. We are not able to report our share of pool revenues under IFRS and instead report only those revenues attributable to our 100% owned vessels. Revenues reported for the second quarter were $10.5 million compared to $9.9 million for 2013, and for the year to date these amounts were $21 million and $19 million. Quarterly after-tax earnings for the segment were $3.6 million for 2014 and $3.8 million last year. The slight drop is due to an increase in operating costs for our vessels. For the year to date, the segment earned $7.2 million compared to $7.6 million last year. Turning to our real estate segment, Algoma Central Properties reports $7.2 million in revenues compared to $7 million in 2013, and segment after-tax earnings were $0.5 million compared to $0.6 million last year. Improved recovery of operating costs as occupancy in certain properties rises is the primary factor here. That summarizes the highlights on the income statement. I'll now talk about a couple of major items affecting cash flow. Cash flow from operations for the quarter was $7 million compared to $10 million in 2013. This is due to a decrease in EBITDA reflecting results in the domestic shipping business. Cash used in investing activities in the quarter included two final installments on the Algoma Harvester, and those were paid when we took delivery in May. As you know, the vessel entered service in Canada in July. As noted last quarter, we elected to prepay two older amortizing loans, and the second of those was prepaid in Q2. The remaining debt on our balance sheet is not due until 2021 for the senior loans. Our shareholders' equity at quarter end was $545 million, or $14.01 per share. Last week, our board of directors declared a 7-cent per share dividend payable on September 2nd to shareholders of record on August 19th. That covers the operating and financial highlights of the second quarter, so I'll now turn it over to Greg White, our CEO.
Thank you, Peter. The highlight of the second quarter was the arrival of our second Equinox-class vessel, the Algoma Harvester. The Algoma Harvester departed Nantong Mingdi Shipyard in China on May 18th, and after a 54-day voyage, arrived in Port Cartier, Quebec, on July 11th. Upon arrival at Port Cartier, the vessel loaded its first cargo, 29,704 tons of iron ore, destined for the ArcelorMittal Dofasco facility in Hamilton. Of note is that this is the largest cargo ever unloaded at the Dofasco plant. The Algoma Harvester is the second in a series of eight vessels being built at Nantong Mingdi Shipyard. The series consists of four gearless bulk carriers and four self-unloading bulk carriers. Algoma will own six of the series, consisting of the two gearless bulk carriers already delivered and the four self-unloading vessels. CWB Inc. will own the other two gearless vessels, which will be operated and managed by Algoma. The Equinox class represents the next generation of Great Lakes St. Lawrence Waterway bulk cargo vessels. Algoma's $300 million investment in the six Equinox class vessels demonstrates the corporation's commitment to operating in a sustainable manner. These vessels have been designed to optimize fuel efficiency and operating performance while minimizing their environmental impact. A 45% improvement in energy efficiency over Algoma's current fleet average is expected, resulting from the use of a modern, efficient, Tier 2 compliant main engine, significantly increased cargo capacity, and an advanced hull form that produces less resistance through the water. In addition, a fully integrated IMO-approved exhaust gas scrubber will remove 97% of all sulfur oxides from shipboard emissions. The use of exhaust gas scrubbers represents the first application of an IMO-approved integrated scrubber on the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Waterway. We expect the third Equinox-class gearless bulker, the CWB Marquis, to be delivered by the end of September, with arrival in Canada expected to be in late November. The final gearless vessel, the CWB Strongfield, should be delivered in the first quarter of 2015, with the four self-unloaders to follow throughout 2015. As Peter mentioned, our second quarter results have been significantly impacted by the severe ice conditions that persisted on the Great Lakes. Over the winter and continuing into May, the Great Lakes experienced the greatest concentration of ice in over three decades. In fact, the ice remaining on the Great Lakes in early May, primarily in Lake Superior, Upper Lake Michigan, and Georgian Bay, was twice the amount of any year in the past 30 years. Beginning in early December, the below-average temperatures resulted in significant ice growth on the Great Lakes that reached a peak concentration of 92% by the first week of March, which is also twice the season average. On the positive side, the severe winter conditions has led to an increase in water levels and the depleting of the entire road control salt inventory around the Great Lakes. Although our April results were clearly impacted by the ice-related vessel delays, the months of May and June were both better than expected. For the balance of the year, we see continued strong demand and very high fleet utilization. The main drivers of this positive outlook are the strong demand as a result of the record 2013 grain crop, strong demand for steel products, particularly automobiles, and the strong demand for road control salt to replenish the depleted inventories. I will now turn it over to the conference operator for the question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press star followed by one on your touch tone phone. You will hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Again, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one on your touch tone phone. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question is from John Kohler, Oppenheimer Close. John, please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Morning, John. We're well, and you?
Fine. Thank you.
Well, thanks. If I heard correctly, it sounds like you're going to have you activated some ships in the domestic dry bulk. Did I hear that correctly, or?
Yes.
Okay. So utilization will be up and everything, demand is great, but is that going to have a negative impact on your operating ratio going forward, or do you think it's going to be mitigated by the demand?
I guess it depends a little bit on what you mean by going forward. We're operating ships that operated in prior years, so in that sense it's kind of neutral. However, to the extent that we are running these older ships, which are more expensive to operate, and we're gradually bringing in the Equinox ships, there will be a slightly dilutive impact of what would otherwise be an improvement in 2014, but it wouldn't be an increase necessarily over prior periods.
Okay, I misunderstood. I apologize for that.
No problem.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one on your touch tone phone. Your next question is from Blake Pelham, Raymond James. Blake, please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Greg. Hi, Peter.
Morning, Blake.
Hi, Blake.
How are you?
Very well.
Great.
Good. Good. Just a couple of questions on the new vessels. I take it from your comments that the strong field isn't coming until Q1 of 2014.
Correct.
Okay. So,
first, go ahead.
So, are we still experiencing unforeseen delays in getting the new ships over here?
We're seeing an improvement in the progress of the vessels. So we've got three under construction currently at the shipyard. In the delays we suffered earlier, we're not gonna make them up. So.
Right. Okay.
Another sort of observation too is to the extent that the vessel's not here before the end of December, it effectively doesn't start operating really until the season opens next year in any event, right? So in a sense, whether it arrives in January or March, it's relatively neutral as far as impact on 2015 is concerned.
Okay. Okay. And just to clarify on the depreciation and amortization costs related to the harvester, would they have started to take effect in this quarter, is that correct?
No, we would start those in July when it entered operation. So during the transit voyage, which was sort of the May, June, early July period, those are all considered part of the capital cost, and the depreciation would begin when it entered service with the pickup of cargo in the Gulf.
Okay. Okay. And do I understand correctly, are you bringing the Algoma Hansa back to Canada and reflagging it?
Yes.
Okay.
Currently, this is a short-term introduction into Canada. Could lead to something longer, but it currently is in Halifax being Canadianized, and we expect it to enter service mid-August in our domestic service and through to the end of the year, and then at that point we'll evaluate its prospects both in Canada and internationally.
Yeah. And in terms of the vessels that are in service that you didn't expect to be in service this year, is that a short term thing, or will they be able to run for longer than just this 1 year kind of thing?
It's definitely a short-term thing. We brought them out for the year to help with the increased demand, and we see them with the Equinox arriving, having two additional Equinox at the start of next year. We don't see they'll be required.
Okay. Okay. All right, great. I think that's all I've got for now, guys.
Thanks, Blake.
Okay.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Please proceed.
Should you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to give Peter or me a call. And for those interested and wanting to get up early tomorrow, I will be on BNN at 8:10. To further discuss our second quarter results. Thank you for joining us today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your lines.